welcome to our next broadcast in this series in the book of John. We're in John chapter 4. Have your Bibles ready. We're talking about the woman of Samaria. John chapter 4, verse number 7, Jesus is sitting on the well by Samaria, and it says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a Samaritan woman, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would give thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, she said, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. What an interesting story. We saw in our last message that Jesus is speaking to this wicked Gentile woman. Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans. And in verse number 10, this woman said, How is it? How is it that you are talking to me, a woman of Samaria? Well, he answered the how. He answered it with Nicodemus, too, when he said how. He said in John chapter 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, God gave. It was a gift. Salvation is a gift. It was available for Nicodemus. And he said to the woman, in verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, gift, eternal salvation is a gift. Whether it's a wicked woman or a religious man, it's a gift that needs to be received. You can take advantage of it, take the gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And he said to her, if thou knewest who you were talking to. Well, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in the previous chapter, and we read that Nicodemus came at night because he didn't want to be seen with him. Here we have this woman. She's out there at noon because people will not want to be seen with her. And so we have one with a very religious background, but the woman at the well had no religious background that Jesus would have to sweep away. With Nicodemus, he was highly educated. He was highly elevated in the community. He was going to the temple and going through his religious routine every day. And then we had this lowlife woman here from Samaria. She's also going through her routine, oh, not of spirituality, but of seduction. And both of them are following their routine, their regularly followed activity. One very religious, one very immoral, a master of Israel and a woman of ill repute, and both of them bound for hell. And Jesus said, you need to believe me. In both cases, he said, you need to believe me. In verse 10, he said, I have that living water, and it is a gift. Now, in verse 11, she uses the word sir. And you notice, as we progress down through this chapter, that her respect for him is beginning to change. First, she calls him a Jew in verse 9. Verse 11, sir. Again, 15 and 19, sir. Then in 19, she says, I perceive thou art a prophet. Verse 25, she's wondering if he is the Messiah. And by the time you get to verse 29, she's back witnessing in the city of Samaria saying, is not this the Christ? Now, from verse 11 through verse 26, they get into a discourse concerning living water and the well, and she says, are you greater than Jacob who gave us this well, and give me some of this water, she said, to make my life easier, and I won't have to come here and draw water anymore, she said in verse number 15. And finally, Jesus says in verse 16, go call thy husband. What's he doing? Let's cut through the chase here, all right? Go call your husband. We've talked enough about water. We've talked enough about wells. Now I want to talk about your wickedness. Go call your husband. Let's cut through the chase here. Let's have a serious focus on your situation. And the result of him being so frank and so blunt, she says in verse 29, is not this the Christ? Oh, that we would get back to some serious preaching and letting people know where they are instead of trying to just preach the smooth things all the time. Well, she's still fighting the conviction, and she says in verse 17, I have no husband. He said, no, you've had five husbands, and you're living in sin right now. And he says in verse number 21, woman, believe me, believe me. And they get into a discussion about worship, and this is a very important discussion. He says now, look at verse number 21, you have the word worship. Again, you have in verse number 22, ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship. Verse 23, for the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And he gets into this subject of worshiping with this woman, because she's saying, well, we worship in our temple here on this mountain, and you worship in your temple in Jerusalem. And it's interesting that it's not the temple. That's not the important thing here. The important thing is Christ. So it's not the mountain temple, and it's not the Jerusalem temple. We're going to find out in a few short years, 70 AD, that under the hand of God, the Jerusalem temple will be totally destroyed. Why? Because they're focusing on the temple instead of on Christ. And so he said, you want to talk about true worshipers? True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship him. So the question is, what is worship? How do we worship? How do we worship in a manner that would be acceptable unto the Lord? And how important is worship? Well, you get into the Old Testament, has a lot to do with it. And you have the Old Testament tabernacle, which is a type of worshiping the Lord. Interestingly enough, you will find 27 chapters in the book of Exodus on this subject. And you will find 27 chapters in Leviticus on this subject. In fact, the Psalms They are songs. They're songs. They're musical things. And you'll find and they have to do with worshiping the Lord through music. And you'll find 150 chapters on that subject there. Worship. Worship, if it's musical worship or if it's worship in any manner, it's going to be God-centered, not man-centered. Worshiping is God-centered. So in the New Testament, when we look at worship, the Bible says, and the devil says, you know, fall down and worship me. And the Lord said, no, God only shalt thou worship. When he was having a meal there, and Mary and Martha, you know, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was out in the kitchen cooking. And Martha is very upset and complaining because she can't get Mary to come and help her serve Jesus. Well, he says, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with a lot of service. Mary has chosen that better part. We need to understand what is more important. Is the king's business more important than the king? No, the king is the most important part of this. And I think sometimes we get all wrapped up in our service for the Lord, and we may be doing that in sincerity, but we'll find that serving the Lord is more important than the Lord himself. And so he says in verse 24, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with my spirit, through the word of God, for the Bible says, my word is truth. Well, when it comes to worship, the Pharisees, they thought they had it all figured out. They had an outward form. But inwardly, the Bible says, and Jesus said it, you are whited sepulchres. He said in Matthew 23:27, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Yeah, not only dead men's bones down there, there's maggots down there. And he said, you look pretty good on the outside. Well, verse 27, the disciples come back, and it says they marveled that he had talked with that woman. What is he doing talking with that woman? Well, the disciples are getting better of shape about that. And what does the woman do in verse 28? She left her water pot. She went her way. She saith to the men of the city, come see a man that told me all things, whatever I did. Is not this the Christ? And the men of the city came, the Bible says. And what are the disciples doing? Verse 31. Wow. It says, in the meanwhile, I think that's very interesting. In the meanwhile, the disciples said, well, let's eat. We've got to get eating here. They lacked discernment. They didn't have any idea what was going on around them at that time. I think this Samaritan woman understood more than these disciples did. How sad is that? We read in verse number 32, it says, he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? Or did somebody bring him some food? They can't figure this out at all. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. That's my meat. He said unto them in verse number 35, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And while he is busy having a lesson on sowing and reaping in verse number 36 through verse number 38, in verse number 39, we find this new convert, this woman of Samaria, was out doing the job. It says, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. And so those who are genuinely saved, what do? They come to him. They beg him to tarry. We want you to hang around. And he stayed for 2 more days, and verse 41 says, many, many more believed.
Do you ever feel downhearted or discouraged? Do you ever think your work is all in vain? Do the burdens thrust upon you make you tremble? And you feel that you will not the victory gain? Have faith in God. He cannot fail. Those sons of life, your path. word is true. He cares for you. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. It is always darkest just before the dawning. Silver linings shine on God's side of the clouds. All your journey He has promised to be with you. Nothing comes to you but what His love allows. Have faith in God. He cannot fail. Storms of life, your path will sail. God's word is true. He cares for you. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He is able to deliver. Faith can victor be in every trying hour. Fear and care and sin and sorrow be defeated by our faith in God's almighty conquering power. Have faith in God. He cannot fail. Those storms of life, your path will sail. God's word is true. He cares for you. Have faith in God. Hey!